coming against us, as it gets darker in this world, we can become restless. And we can neglect our peace and our time of rest with God. So I wanted to share tonight out of Matthew's gospel. We'll be in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. If you have a Bible, open it. If you need one, you can slip your hand up. George will grab one for you. So you can follow along in God's word. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verse 28 to 30. You know, three verses. It'll only take us about 4 hours. Three very powerful verses. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I see happening right now in the fellowship is restlessness. People are just being ripped off of the rest that Jesus offers us. And in the time of the disciples, in this particular time in history, there was actually a lot of similarities to what was taking place in society. The wicked were running amok in society at this time. Government was a mess at this time. The heavy hand of the Romans and the Roman oppression that were over the people was incredible. They had mandates, taxes to go and worship God. They had to pay Caesar money just to worship God. And so there are a lot of similarities to what was taking place at this time in history and what's taking place now. Things we're seeing now that we've never seen before. We're seeing things take place that we've never seen before. And when a new attack comes our way, we tend to get defensive. And then a lot of times we go to our natural instinct, which is worry, freak out, get anxious, and become restless. And it's happened with me. Oh yeah, it's happened with everybody recently. It's our natural man, natural woman, just going into a defense phase, and the natural man, a natural woman, wants to just come forth, which is to, you know, retreat, get anxious, get worried, freak out. But for the believer, God says he has given us his spirit that gives us peace in times of turmoil, directs our steps. So Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, before we read, let's prepare our hearts and surrender our hearts this evening to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Teach us, Lord, even in the midst of the chaos and the storms, that we can find rest in you. Teach us, Lord, to find rest in you tonight. Lord, we thank you for this gathering. And those who are watching, Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth, that, Lord, your word would go forth in truth, power, and in love, Lord, and change the hearts of all who hear. Lord, have your way in us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus speaking says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As I mentioned earlier, the days that we see in history here are very similar to the days that we're seeing here now in our nation and around the world. Finding rest is becoming more and more difficult in these times. I also neglected to mention the fast-paced society in which we live, where everything is now instant. The minds of our minds are being overdriven continually from the many platforms of social media to the daily demands of the workplace to ever-growing needs and responsibilities of family. And really, the list goes on and on and on. Look at all the different platforms of social media right now. It's not just the TV with five stations anymore. Now, you have a TV with 570 stations. But if that's not enough, you can go to your computer and have millions of stations. And if, you know, and it's just more and more demanding of our time. Time that could be useful. So one of the big things is the social media trying to keep up. You know, somebody had mentioned recently that 20 years ago, you may receive a phone call with some bad news from someone. And you dealt with that bad news and you got together and you got through it. Because it was one piece of bad news you'd get. But you can go on social media now and you can find 100 different things of bad news. And guess what? God has not designed us or equipped us to keep up with these computers and to keep up with what's happening in the world in real time. We can't do it. God hasn't designed us that way. He's designed us to walk in peace, to walk in unity. He's designed us to meet the needs of the people that are in our path. But when we get out into the media, it can get really crazy. I'm not going to sit on that, but that's one of the things that really can rip us off and get us frustrated. But the list does go on and on of the things that come against our stability, our mental stability, and the peace that God gives us, the rest that God gives us. And there's a danger in not resting, and it can be catastrophic. When we don't rest in the Lord, we miss out. We miss out on a lot of blessings. We miss out on seeing the good hand of God in our lives. We miss out on receiving that rest that He offers us. Our time is valuable. You know, the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. And that's that little piece of steam coming off our Starbucks in the morning. You know, coming off of that hot cup of coffee, that little wisp of steam. That's our life here on earth. And so our time is valuable. We want to use our time wisely. We can get easily enveloped into work. We can lose out by neglecting other important life issues, even with family, in the busyness of life. We can sometimes neglect the important areas of our life. And so in all of this, we desperately need balance in our life. And that comes from the Lord. We need to have that balance in our life. And in that balance, we need to make time to rest. Jesus is speaking to two groups here of people. He's speaking to his disciples, of course, who are with him, but he's also speaking to all those around who are listening. Because they all have this one thing in common: the weight and the burden of sin and separation from God and separation from his rest is tormenting. And Jesus knows that. That's why he says, "Come to me." He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because God knows we need that rest. In fact, in Genesis, in God's creation, Genesis chapter 2, the seventh day, what did God do? He rested. Not because he was tired, but he was showing us a way that is good for us. He was showing us that he has designed all of creation, including us, to rest, to have that time to rest. So Jesus bids those who are listening, as well as his disciples, and keep in mind, at this time, he's in the middle of the ministry, his ministry on earth. The disciples, I'm sure, at this time, were probably feeling a little worn too. Ministry is not easy. In fact, following Jesus is not easy. If it were, everyone would be following him. But we are told to follow Jesus. We are to deny ourselves daily, to pick up our cross and follow him. We are told to crucify our flesh. We are to deny our flesh and follow the Lord. And that is not easy. The disciples, I'm sure, were weary, as well as those who were listening when Jesus said, "Come all." Remember who he's speaking to, the diversity of the group. These were the average people. These were the farmers. These were the religious leaders. These were the disciples that were with him. You had this huge variety and diversity of people that Jesus is saying, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Many people think, well, to come to Jesus and find rest, or to, I'll invite somebody to church. And it's like, I just got to get right. I just got to, you know, get off of this drug, or I just got to stop doing this and get right, and then I'll come to church. Then I'll come to the Lord. But that's not how it works. We can't fix ourselves. We need Jesus to do that. He says, come to me. Modern translation, in the group he's speaking, he would say, come to me, you who are messed up, you who are addicted, you who are strung out, you who are fighting various different sin in your life, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The rich, the poor, doesn't matter. He says, all who labor and are heavy laden, burdened by sin. Sin is deceptive, because when we come to Jesus and we find forgiveness for our sin, we are, you know, when we first come to the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we repent of our sins and we turn to him. We're born again. We're forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's the deception with sin. Sin disguises itself in different forms and still creeps into our life as believers. Yeah, we still sin. To say that we are sinless and perfect, well, John makes that very clear in 1 John. If any man says he is without sin, he is a liar. See, we still battle with sin, and sin is sneaky. It is deceptive. And it comes in various formats. And the wages of the sin itself is death, separation from God. The wages of the sin for the believer is not death, but it is still separation from God. And that sin comes in various forms. Psalm 38, verse 4, David said, "My iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. They're too heavy for me." We as believers can find ourselves being robbed of the rest that Jesus offers us because we still fall prey to sin. But it's disguised in other forms. I'm going to get to that in a moment. There are certain warnings that we would be wise to avoid. I call these sin traps in our life. Things that aren't called sin so much, but they are sin. Unbelief. According to Hebrews 3:19, we lose our rest through unbelief. According to Hebrews 4:6, disobedience. We lose our rest in our disobedience, which that one's pretty blatant. Hebrews 10:26 warns us that if we ignore or we forget Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it will pull us from the rest. It will pull us from the rest that he offers us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34 tells us that worry can pull us from rest. And then also was we see the children of Israel all through the book of Exodus being discontent. Being discontent with where God has us. All these things, all these five things can steal our rest in the Lord. And they all revolve around sin. That's the sneaky part. We think, well, how's worrying a sin? When we get anxious, we take our eyes off the Lord and we put the strength in our own hands. We take control of something that we should surrender to God. When we are discontent with what God has given us, we're saying, you haven't given me enough. I want more. After the Son of God suffered and died on the cross for us, we are saying, that's not enough. Ignoring or forgetting, neglecting the sacrifice that Jesus gave us on the cross, and just neglecting to remember that in our minds, we'll neglect our time with God. We'll neglect who He is. We'll neglect all that He has to offer us. Disobedience is the obvious one. When we are being disobedient, that is blatant sin before God. When we are being disobedient, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you?" Not that God is pointing the finger of judgment at us, but because He loves us enough to send His Son to suffer and die and to give us, undeserving sinners, a life filled with grace and love and peace and rest that He offers us as His children. That's His desire, because He loves us. And then unbelief will keep us from trusting in God. And unbelief will sneak in like a thief and will reduce our faith. Unbelief will sneak in like a thief and it will reduce our faith in the Lord. I know He says it in His word, but would He really do that for me? I know He did that for this person and this person. I know what the scripture says, but would He do that? Would He do that for me? Well, God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So yes, He will. It will be in His perfect time, in His perfect way, not ours. But God is faithful to remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So these five things, unbelief, disobedience, ignoring Christ's sacrifice, worry, and discontentment, I just want to meditate on those a little bit, because God gives us a remedy for these things. He gives us a remedy for these things. And it's very important to know and apply to our lives what God says to keep us, and there are more. Time doesn't give us the opportunity to really make a list. There's probably 100, 200 different things that can drag us and to separate us from the rest that God gives us. But these five are important because we have remedies for them. These are the remedies for these little troublemakers in our life. The remedy for unbelief is found in Mark chapter 9, 23 and 24. As a father whose son was passing away, sick and dying, came to Jesus in desperate need of Him. And Jesus said to him, "Go and do all you can for him. Go and do all you can for him. Do everything in your own strength. And when you run out of your strength, come back to me." The man right then and there said, "I can't do this. Lord, help my unbelief. I trust in you." Letting go of control. Let go of control and give it to God. Like the father did. He let go of his control, trying to help his son. He let go, he gave it to God, and then he submitted himself to God's will. And then he trusted in God's ability to deliver. He let go, submitted to God's will, and then trusted in God to deliver. And God was faithful. Jesus was faithful to heal his son. God is faithful. In our remedy for unbelief, let go of the control that you think you have. It is destroying your peace. It's stealing your rest. God is in control. We are not. And he is our loving Father who has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. Let go of that control and give it to God. Disobedience is a very simple one. It's a beautiful word the world is making ugly. In our disobedience, repent. Repent. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you've been walking in a place in your life of disobedience, repent. Turn to God. Be forgiven. Get a new slate with the Lord. Clean slate. As Isaiah says, though your sins may be as scarlet, they will be made white as snow. Repentance. And that's a beautiful word, to repent. We turn from our sin, we do a 180 about face, we do a 180 from our sin, and we turn to God. We turn to God. That will absolve our disobedience. If we repent, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned, God. Forgive me and cleanse my heart. That's a process, too. I want to just talk about that for a moment, repentance. Repentance is given to us by God. It is a gift of God. It is God's Spirit convicting us of our sin, convicting us that what we're doing is wrong. And 1 John 1:9 tells us to confess to him, to confess our sins to him. And I believe that that can be a daily thing. That can be a daily thing. I love what John Corson said on 1 John 1:9. We were at a retreat some years ago, and he had a question. There was a Q&A after he did his teaching. And somebody says, John, you said about confessing sin and doing it daily. If we had to confess our sin daily for everything, we would be talking to God all day long. And John Corson said, exactly. That's the purpose, that we're in communication with God throughout the day. And guess what? We need our hearts cleansed daily. We need a fresh filling of God's Spirit daily. And so God gives us this beautiful avenue called repentance through the precious blood of his son, Jesus, that we can come to him and say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. I messed up. Please forgive me. And you know what? You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Yeah, just like that. In fact, the moment your heart cries out is the moment God hears and says, you're forgiven. The blood of my son is enough. You are washed, you are made clean before holy God. So disobedience, the remedy for disobedience, repentance. Now, on remembering Christ's sacrifice, I want to read for you out of Hebrews chapter 12, when we neglect to remember the sacrifice of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight or burden and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider this, he says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. Laying every weight aside and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and remembering that it was the joy set before him that caused him to endure the cross. The joy set before him was you and me. The joy set before him was mankind being brought back into a relationship with God. He had you in his mind and on his heart as he took those beatings, as he took those whippings, as he took that crown of thorns, as he took the bludgeon, the blows to the head, as he was nailed to that tree on Calvary, he had you in mind. You need to remember that. Because when we remember that, guess what? We remember our worth in Christ. We remember that we are worth dying for, according to God. Doesn't matter what the world says. You, every one of you, and everyone watching, myself included, we are all worth dying for. That is what the Lord declares, and he proved it on the cross. And it reminds us of who we are in Christ, and it reminds us how much he loves us, so that when we find ourselves worrying and freaking out, we can go, wait a minute. God suffered and died for me to have life, not to let me just fall. He's going to hold on to you. So that's our remedy, going back to the cross and being reminded that we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the end, the one who was despised and rejected, the one who took so much abuse that we deserved because he loves you. Be reminded of that. When we find ourselves worrying, this is a topic, and this is one that sneaks in real easy, the worries and cares that can easily turn into anxiety, even depression. When we worry, the remedy for our worries, that we find one remedy in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, where the Lord says, he tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, that's everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are to pray about everything. If you've got worries and cares and concerns, bring them to God. Don't bring them to men. Bring them to God. It's been said that those who speak much of men speak little to God. And those men who speak much to God about their problems speak little to men. God is willing. He's ready. He wants to hear from his children. If you've got cares and you've got worries, bring it to God in prayer. And that is prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Supplication is just this. It comes from the word supple. It means to be flexible. It means to be flexible, like those bamboo shoots that are in the swamps where the wind blows and they just flex and bend to the wind. We are to pray in supplication, that is being flexible to what God wants to do, and do it with thanksgiving, being thankful. And one of the things we can be thankful for when we're praying is that, God, you're hearing my prayers. You know, before the cross, was not so. They had a high priest would come to the Lord and pray and intercede for the people. But because of the cross, and because of what Jesus did on the cross, The veil has been torn from top to bottom. And now we have access into the throne of grace. And we are to come boldly. We're told, come boldly to the throne of grace, where we will find mercy and grace in time of need. We can come directly to the throne of God with our problems. But oftentimes our worries and our complaints go to people rather than to God. And maybe something in us says, well, if I complain enough to enough people around me, God will just finally hear what's going on down here. That's how we think, though. That's how they do it down here. If we just complain enough, somebody's going to hear and pick up on it. But our worries, we need to bring those to God in prayer. And guess what? We do that daily, too. I worry about my children. I worry about their future. I worry about their relationship with Jesus. I worry about people. I worry about their needs. I worry about the hurts. I have a lot of things I worry about. And if pastors were more honest, every pastor has worries. Because we are human. And we are living in this fallen world when we see a lot of garbage. We need to come to the Lord daily, though, in prayer. And give Him everything and be thankful to Him. And let our request be made known to Him. And He promises here, when we do that, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that means it just won't make sense in our human thinking, that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace like a river. Peace that is indescribable. I don't know if you've experienced that peace of God when He does that, but it's pretty incredible. When a peace comes over you that makes no sense, but you have peace because you're trusting in the Lord, that God's going to take care of it. And then discontentment, which we mentioned, which really is a battle up here in the mind. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are told to take every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that is a challenging one, to take every thought captive, because first thing that comes up is, well, how do I take these thoughts captive? And really the best thing I can describe is you pray and you tell God, Jesus, take this thought captive. In the name of Jesus, take this thought captive. It is gone. It needs to go. And sometimes you need to speak those things out. You need to pray those things out. It doesn't matter if people think you're crazy. You're saved. You're going to heaven. God's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. If we need to stop and say no, in the name of Jesus, leave. You need to take those thoughts captive. Thoughts that are impure. Thoughts that are not lovely. Thoughts that are not of good rapport. Thoughts that are false, that are lies. You take those things into captivity. And it says, through and in the obedience of Christ. In other words, those thoughts have to be subject to the obedience of Christ. But you need to surrender them. That's our part, to remove those thoughts under and to the obedience of Christ, under His authority, under His power. Again, not our own, but we surrender those thoughts to Him, His authority. All these things, these five topics that I mentioned before we continue, I bring this up because Jesus is really explaining the burden of sin here. And while this room may be filled with people who are born again, which I know most of you are, sin still creeps into our life. And it's disguised in different sneaky ways. And it still comes in and steals our joy. It steals our peace with God. It steals the rest that God desires to give us. So I wanted to bring these up, bring these to attention, because maybe, just maybe, you're watching or you're here and you're struggling with one of these things mentioned. Because I know for me, it's like rolling the dice. Which one am I going to struggle with today? And you know what? God is faithful every time to pull this sinner out of the muck and mire and get my feet back on the rock. God is faithful to do that. Not by anything I've done, but because of what Christ has done. Continuing in Matthew's gospel, after he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest," the promise. He then says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke. To take up the yoke of Jesus is special. The yokes, of course, were used in those days for the oxen and the cattle to pull the plows, to plow the fields. And the oxen, as they were yoked together in twos, those yokes, which were primarily wood and leather, had to be made just right and fit the oxen just right. Otherwise, it would promote chafing, which could lead to open wounds, which would lead to infection, and ultimately to the demise of your oxen, your cattle. And you would lose big. It was not a cheap thing to lose one of your oxen in those days. You depended on them for your livelihood. And so the yokes had to be made just right. Now, that brings up the point, you know, we know in Scripture we're told not to be unequally yoked with another, and that's what that's also describing, is as two walk together, husband and wife, they are to be equally yoked. The yokes are to be made equal. If you were to yoke an oxen to a donkey, you would have a mess. It would not work. The oxen would be all messed up, and the donkey wouldn't even know what he's doing. And they would just get hurt and possibly die. But the yoke of Jesus is special. The yoke of Jesus is tailor-made for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared this perfect, custom tailor-fitted yoke for you to put on. One that won't chafe, won't rub the wrong way, won't hurt. It's going to fit just perfect. In other words, gang, we are to put on Jesus. We are to put on Jesus. And again, this is a daily thing we need to do. This is a daily, the enemy would have us, he would have us to believe that you came to church, you got saved, you're good the rest of your walk. Don't worry about it. You know, God will just take care of it all. Don't worry about praying, don't worry about fellowship. You're saved now. That's what the enemy would tell us. Because we are to deny ourselves daily and pick up our cross and follow him. So it is a daily battle we're in. We need to put on Jesus daily. When we read about the armor of God in Ephesians, you know, the whole armor of God is Jesus. It's all Jesus. We put the gird ourselves with the belt of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." We put on the helmet of salvation. Who brought us salvation? Jesus Christ. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness are we robed in? Christ, Jesus. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus. The shield of faith. We have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The shield is, it's all Jesus. Put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. And he says, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn from me. He's calling to be his disciple, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to learn from him. That is what a disciple is a student who is learning from the master. We are to be disciples, all of us, continually learning from him. We are students learning from the master. And there is a discipline that is needed in our lives to do that. We need to come to church. We need the fellowship. We need to hear the word of God. We need to get up and get into the word of God daily, because it's a daily battle. If we wait for Sunday for the word of God to come into our heart and feed us, going to church one day makes 1 week. Makes 1 week. And we find ourselves weak because we should be learning daily. And Jesus says, when you take up his yoke, he says, then learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That means to be humble in heart. Humility. He will teach us. He'll teach us humility. And boy, do we need that. We've got a whole world out there dying, and their first thought about the Christian is, oh, yeah, those Christians like to judge everybody because they're perfect. They need to see our humility. They need to see our brokenness. They need to see our concern for their salvation, not in a judgmental way, in a way that is humble, that is lowly of heart. In a humble way, we need to come to them. They need to see our brokenness for them. As these people here were witnessing the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself, broken for the people, knowing that they're heavy laden, knowing that they're weary, knowing that they're weighed down and burdened. And he says, you come to me and I will give you rest. You take up my yoke and you learn from me. And I will teach you humility. I will teach you what it means to be lowly in heart. I will teach you to be gentle, to care, and to have compassion. But we need to choose to learn from him. And that, again, is daily. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Why is his yoke so easy and his burden so light? Because of the finished work on the cross. As Chuck sang that beautiful song, He Touched Me, shackled by a heavy burden, weighed down. But then the hand of Jesus touched me. The finished work on the cross made it possible for us to say, when we take on the yoke of Jesus, it is a easy yoke. And the burden is light because our sin is lifted. We're not walking around like the guy from Pilgrim's Progress, you know, weighted down with all the stuff. But the sin is lifted from us that weighs us down. Because of the finished work of the cross. Now, going into chapter 12, which we're not going to get into chapter 12 tonight, but please read ahead. Jesus is known and called the Lord of the Sabbath. And you know what he does with his disciples after all this? On the day of rest, he walks through the wheat field, grabbing grain and eating it with the disciples, showing them no longer is it some religious act of religion that you're going to do the Sabbath. I am the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus says. And he says, enjoy this food. Eat with me. Sup with me. And they're eating grain. And then the religious leaders come and they all point the fingers and they're like, ah, you're treading grain on the Sabbath. Jesus says, we're just eating, man. What's your problem? They're still burdened by sin. They're still weighed down. They're still shackled. They're still carrying around that heavy, heavy yoke of sin and shame. Jesus says, in me you have rest. Enjoy this grain. Enjoy this wheat. Enjoy this together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that there is a promise for us, and since a promise remains of entering his rest, he says, let us fear or consider, lest any seem to fall short of it. So in other words, he's saying, be careful to not fall short of this rest that he gives us. Because it's real easy to fall from. And you guys know it. I know it. Man, when I'm not in that rest, things creep in, grab a hold of our life. But he says, be careful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, is a warning. Since this promise remains, be very careful. Consider what you're doing, lest, as he says, any seem to fall short of it. I want to read out of Psalm 16. Psalm 16, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Verse 7 through 9. This is a Psalm of David. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. God has given us a hope. He has given us a future for us to rest in. This is not all there is. What we see in this world, this is not all there is. We're passing through this place. We're sojourners. We're passing through. This place is not our home. We're passing through here. And as the Apostle Paul said, there is nothing in this world that can compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in us on that day in the presence of Christ Jesus. No trials, no testing, nothing's going to even come close to compare to how amazing it is going to be for the glory of God to be revealed to us. And he gives us this hope in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 5, we're told that hope does not disappoint, knowing the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. Hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. We have been sealed for the day of redemption by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God now dwells in us as believers. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. These frail, fallen tents that we're in, and the Holy Spirit of God himself dwells in us, so that he can equip us to do the work that God has for us, so he can equip us to walk in a manner that's worthy of our calling. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, just a couple of words of encouragement for you here. These are some great verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He sympathizes with all of our weaknesses because he went through the tests and the same trials we go through. Yet he was without sin. Still he went through them. Still, he went through them. So he can sympathize, meaning when you're going through something heavy in your life that nobody around you understands, Jesus can always say, I know exactly how you feel. He's the one who comes alongside and says, I know how you feel. I can sympathize with you. And I love that we have a Savior that can sympathize with our weaknesses. Because honestly, for this guy, there are many. And I need him to come alongside and encourage me. And you need that. We all need that so that we can prevail, that we can endure the race that we're in. In closing, I want to share with you one more area in John chapter 17, because it's just awesome. It shows God's love for you. Before his arrest in Gethsemane, Jesus took time, and he took time to pray. Specifically, he's praying for the disciples, and then he specifically took time to pray for the future believers, which would be us. So this is a prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me. This is special. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, speaking of his disciples at the time, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them. The glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's a prayer from the lips of God for you and for me, that we would be in one with Christ Jesus, together with him, that he would be in us and we would be in him, just as he is in the Father and the Father is in him, that we would all together be in one. That was his fervent prayer for you. And you know what? Jesus is still interceding for us even now. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. You've got the Son of God in your corner. And if God be for you, who can be against you? We need to prevail through these times in which we live, and we need to find rest in the Lord so we don't freak out and get bummed out, stressed out, depressed, anxious, worry, start doubting God. It's just this ripple effect that takes place. We need to prevent those ripples from taking place and rest in Jesus. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, which is truth, which we desperately need in the days in which we live, God. Lord, please allow your word to resonate in our hearts, not only tonight, but throughout this week. In the days to come, Lord, stir our hearts to find rest in you. Remind us, Lord, of the price that you paid for us. Remind us, Lord, of the yoke that you have for us, the custom-made yoke, tailor-made for us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to come to you daily. to put Jesus first in her life, to put on Jesus daily. Carry us, Lord. We have no strength apart from you. We are weak. You are strong, Lord. In the power of your might will we succeed. Give us, Lord, that. Give us the desire to follow you, Lord. Give us the desire to surrender to you. Continually stir our hearts to do what is good in your sight, Lord. We love you. We thank you for your word, your truth, and your many promises, Lord. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.